And welcome to Rod Talk here on M88. I am your host, Yo. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. And before we dive into tonight's program, let's take care of a little bit of business real quick and do an update on this whole Rockfest thing, because I'm sure people still have questions about that. I actually have Steve-O and Deez sitting in with me for tonight, and I'll explain why here in just a moment. But Steve-O, can you do like a quick update on what the whole deal was with Rockfest?
Yes, very quick update. Unfortunately, last night's show in Phoenix and today's show in Albuquerque were both canceled due to stuff. It wasn't our show, so I don't have like full details, but I did talk to the guys at Sagebrush Community Church, and unfortunately, honestly, the truth is, I actually do know why, and it's because, unfortunately, there wasn't enough support for the show in Phoenix or for here. They couldn't sell enough tickets, so there you go. So they were losing literally thousands, and so it's pretty sad, because there was a lot of really good bands.
We actually talked to Transistor Radio on Friday, and they're really excited to be back in Albuquerque.
I know.
But they'll be back, actually, for back, New Year's Eve.
And also, Ever Stays Red going to be here next, 2 weeks?
They'll be here the 19th and the 20th.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can catch them actually back-to-back.
So some of those bands will be coming back for you to catch. But just in case people still have questions about Rockfest, yes, it was canceled. Mm-hmm. It was out of our hands. It wasn't anything that we did.
No.
I know a lot of people, when we promote a show, you know, they think that M88's responsible for everything that happened, and this one was out of our hands, and it was canceled.
But it's just a good lesson in, hey, you know, it's not necessarily easy to get good Christian artists on tour in your town, and when they do, it's always awesome to support them, because all the other mainstream artists are having a brilliant time on all these big tours, making lots of money, and it seems like, you know, we as Christians sometimes wonder why we don't get the shows here, and, well, unfortunately, that's why.
Yes. Well, tonight we're going to talk about something totally different than Rockfest. The Golden Compass opened this weekend. We, all three of us, had a chance to go see this film, which is why I had Deez and Steve-O join me tonight, because we all had a very interesting time seeing the film and then discussing it afterwards. And it was a movie that, I'll be honest, at first I thought it was going to be kind of a non-issue. In fact, I was like, I didn't understand why people were freaking out about this movie. I was like, it's just a movie. Okay, so maybe the guy's an atheist, but he has just as much right to write material to promote that as Lewis did to write Narnia to promote Christianity. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything to be afraid of. Then I went to go see the movie, and when I left, I realized this was something that was different from the Da Vinci Code and was something that I felt necessary to speak out on. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to discuss The Golden Compass tonight, not that we're calling for boycotts or mass picketing or anything like that, but to inform you so that you can make a discerning decision about whether or not you want to go see this film. Now, if you haven't gone to see the film, don't worry. We're going to spoil the entire thing for you tonight.
Yeah, don't worry. So if you do want to go, then you should probably turn your radio off.
And if you really don't want to have the movie spoiled for you, I'm just giving you a heads up. We're going to do that because I really don't see any reason why people would want to go see this film. That up front, we will be spoiling the movie. Now, if you've seen it and you got a question or comment that you'd like to chime in throughout the evening, give us a call. 505-338-5790 is our number here at Rod Talk as we discuss The Golden Compass, what it's claiming and what its impact on our culture will be and how we as Christians should respond to it. 505-338-5790. Let's get one thing out of the way right here at the beginning. Projections for the film, not good, Deez.
They are not good at all. What was the estimate?
26
million dollars for the weekend estimate. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And that's in over 3,500 different theaters across the nation. That's a lot of theaters to open in.
And here's a little comparison for you. Movies with similar themes. You have Chronicles of Narnia, which came out several years ago in 2005, and it made $65 million at the box office.
Woo!
On the opening weekend alone.
Tallywood for Christianity, yeah!
Right here.
Sorry.
There you go. High five. And another comparison, the final Lord of the Rings film, another fantasy picture based on a Tolkien book, made $72 million. I almost said 1,000, but that would have been not very good.
Right.
$72 million. It's what weekend opening box office. So for comparison, this movie's not doing very well. It's getting mixed reviews, and it's just flat out not performing at the
box
office.
And honestly, you know, your guys' reaction is kind of the reaction I know a lot of Christians are having.
Right.
Yay, chalk one up for the good guys. I really don't think that has so much to do with the spiritual content as the fact that overall, it just really wasn't a well-made movie.
No.
Now, content aside, I still didn't think it was a good movie, but you include the content, mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't a movie I ever really wanted to see. But I think it's more due to that, especially when you keep in mind that there are some really good family films like Enchanted in the theaters, mm-hmm. Which are still performing well, mm-hmm. despite being out for 3 weeks. And I think that took a big chunk out of what they were hoping for the Golden Compass to do. So, and that's all I'm going to say, you know, about whether or not I like the film or not. I just didn't think it was a very well-made film. I was entertained about the last 45 minutes or so. I know Steve-O had a different opinion on that. But more of a concern for me was the theme of this film. Now, as everyone may or may not know, the guy who wrote the books, this is a trilogy of books called His Dark Materials. I can't think of a more appropriate title for a trilogy of books than that, just because the thinking is so dark in those books. Not the material. The material isn't necessarily dark, but just the thinking is dark. It's like the opposite of being enlightened, okay? That's what I'm saying when I'm saying the thinking
would
is dark.
Would that be unlightened?
That would be unlightened, okay. Correct. So he wrote this trilogy of books. It was his answer to Narnia. He thought Narnia was the most poisonous thing to ever be pawned off on children as fantasy ever. He basically doesn't like Christianity, all right? So now we have the first movie based on those books, New Line Cinema, saying, well, you know, we just want this to be a fun fantasy family film. And a lot of those elements from his book, the anti-Christian, the atheistic, the agnostic elements, will be watered down. Went to go see the film. I really didn't think they were all that watered down. And more than that, I was more concerned with how there were some Christians who were saying, you know, this film is a critique of the church. And sometimes it's good to challenge authority. You had Martin Luther, who started the Reformation. He challenged the things that were wrong in the church. And that was a good thing. It led to us getting back to what grace and love is all about. You look at Moses. He challenged religious and governmental authority. So there are some Christians who are saying, you know, this idea of challenging authority, critiquing the church, is a good thing. After I saw the film, I do not believe that that is what this film is doing. This film is not critiquing the church in the hopes of helping the church to improve, to get past its flaws, and to become a better church. I believe this film wants to attack the church and do away with the church. But more importantly than that, which I don't think a lot of people are noticing, I think this is more of an assault on God himself than just the church. What were your guys' thoughts after you saw the film?
Well, I was so conflicted because, as you said, I had a different opinion on you on whether or not I liked the film. I really wanted to just put it as fantasy, you know, just try and separate the theology and fantasy, because I thought it was a well-produced film. I thought the acting was phenomenal. I really enjoyed the story up until Nicole Kidman's character decides to, you know, reveal what's really going on. And then it was like, wait a minute, I think I know what's going on here and I don't like it. So I really wanted to enjoy the film. Unfortunately, me, who is normally a little more liberal about these things, I just couldn't get past it, because I agree. I absolutely think it was an attack, not just on the church, because, as you said, you know, we just watched Luther, the movie, and I enjoyed it, and I agree, you know, that sometimes when, back then, obviously, the church was doing some heretical things, and Martin Luther saw that, and it was for the glory of God, though, that he was going against the church. This is absolutely not for the glory of God. This is to destroy God. In fact, that's pretty much the premise of the films, is to seek out and destroy this evil thing that has brought, I was just going to say sin, but dust into the world. And, you know, and so for me, it was really, really hard to enjoy it once they revealed what the film was all about. I will say this. Watching the film, when they get to this point and the idea of the story is revealed, as a believer, immediately you know what they're talking about. I immediately knew, you know, okay, well, this obviously means sin. These ancients were Adam and Eve. You know, what the thing they did back then was the fall. Okay, here's what's going on. Okay. But if you're not a believer, if you're not grounded in the word, if you don't know the truth, chances are all the stuff's going to go over your head. Mm-hmm. All of it. Literally, it will go over your head. However, that aside, even just some of the more common themes of the film, I thought were absolutely ridiculous. So earlier you said that, you know, you didn't think that that any of this had to do with the film not doing well. I kind of disagree, because, you know, this guy, Pullman, is out there going, you know what? I don't care what you guys think. This is bit. And he's basically shooting himself in the foot, which isn't necessarily a bad thing because people reading this, believers, non-believers alike, people reading him, he's an angry, bitter person. And
whom we need to pray for.
Absolutely. Course, yeah. You know, because a lot of people are condemning him and saying that he's this unbelievable, like this horrendous human being. Well, you gotta take a look at the Bible. Paul was a murderer. He murdered Christians, and Christ still had a obvious solid impact on his life. And so, yes, we absolutely should pray for him. But I think that some of these more common themes, like the girls, you know, spitting on authority, literally, she spits at an adult at one point in the film, and yes, granted, he's the bad guy, but she lies, and it's not for a greater purpose, it's just because she is doing whatever she feels like, and, you know, and so for me, all of these themes that weren't even, you know, the Christianity themes, just how a little kid should act, I'm like, if that was my kid, if I was in Massachusetts, I couldn't do those things because they're trying to ban spanking. But, you know, I just think it was, even the common themes were terrible.
Well, you said a mouthful. Geez, what was, what you did. I mean, there's a
you
lot of
stuff.
You
told me!
There's a lot of stuff there that we need to dive into, and we will. But, Deez, what was your initial reaction to the film?
Well, firstly, I'd like to applaud Steve-O on his stellar British accent and his impression of Philip Pullman. I went into the movie expecting to see a children's film. Because it was pitched as this kid's fantasy movie. And this is a movie that deals with some themes and elements, and you touched on it briefly, that are really, really dark. And I'll be honest, are really, really evil.
Right.
Things like, you know what, dude, free will is so important, and it is important. We have free will. We should exercise it to choose to follow after God. But this was a movie that encouraged sin.
Right.
It outright said that sin is like the way to go if it makes you happy. It's a very humanist film. It's all about, you know, being able to exercise your right to do terrible things if it makes you happy, as long as it doesn't hurt other people. And it was a critique of church at points. But as Yo mentioned, this is an outright assault on Christianity. The movie isn't just about, you know, critiquing the church and improving the church. It's about destroying the church.
Right.
And it takes the message of the gospel, you know, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to do good and be holy like he is holy. And it assaults those points head on. And by that, I was really surprised and I was really offended, you know, as a Christian. And that doesn't happen often, you know,
right.
Because I'm, you know, we're very, I feel like I'm well grounded. I'm not sometimes, but you know, I feel like I'm well grounded, and I was really kind of taken aback by this movie and its outright assault on the church. And it was so dark in certain points that kind of surprised me too. But it goes to show you what people have been saying about movies at the box office. If they have these dark themes, they don't do as well at the box office. Narnia was a film about, you know, God's love for us. It did very well at the box office. This film, not so much.
Well, and I took the same view of it insofar as I didn't think this was just an assault on the church. It was an assault on God's truth.
It was much more than that, yeah.
And that's really where I have to draw the line. But let me be clear. I'm not saying, well, that's the way it is. I'm not going to talk to Pullman or anybody else about this. And,
right.
You know, when the Da Vinci Code came out, again, that was a big deal. And that was an assault on the deity of Christ and the historical accuracy of the Bible. Well, that gave us an opening to talk about those very topics. This film is a little bit trickier because it tackles some topics that are very ambiguous in today's society, specifically truth.
Yeah.
What is truth? How do you define truth? How do you know what truth is? And one of the reasons I was so upset with the film was not so much that it was an assault on the truth of the Bible, an assault on God, or an assault on Christianity. It wasn't a very intelligent assault on it. No. I mean, and that kind of offended me. You know, like, okay, you know, Christianity makes more sense than any other religious belief on the face of the planet. It just makes logical sense. Examine the facts for yourself. You will see it just adds up. Nothing else does. So here this film comes out, these stories that Pullman has written, an all-out assault on that, but they don't really provide any counterpoints. They only seem to muddy the water.
Yeah, it's like, is that the best you have?
Right.
You know?
And yet, you know, it has a lot of people nervous. So on that point, let me just say, there's really nothing to be nervous about because it doesn't make any sense, really, anything that this film claims. But still, the danger is it clouds the issues. It muddies the water. It gets people thinking in circular reasoning. And before you know it, we're all confused and don't know what direction to go in. And that's probably even more dangerous than taking on Christianity point by point.
I think one of the most dangerous things about the film is the idea that they're saying sin is not an evil thing. The church has made it out to be this evil thing because they want you to conform to their rules. However, you can do whatever you want. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, you can do whatever pleases you, whatever you want, which is a tremendous lie the devil has spun that, hey, you know what? As long as you're not harming anyone else, you go ahead and you drink, you know, 7 or 8 beers. You go ahead and you do these things because you're not harming anyone else. However, you're absolutely harming someone, yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was unbelievable to me to see these ideas so plainly put. And you know what? I applaud America. I applaud us as human beings for not jumping behind this. You know, I said I wasn't going to come on and like bash this film, and I don't want to because I don't want to be like everyone else out there who is simply, you know, standing at the picket line, you know, just thrashing it because I'm not a fan of talking about what I'm against. The Bible says that they will know us by our love, and I think we should absolutely stand behind things that we are for. However, man, you know, watching some of these themes, it was unbelievable. And as I said, I'm just so thankful that parents especially weren't deceived into thinking this was going to be a children's film. So, in one sense, I'm glad that a lot of awareness has been raised about this film, you know, prior to its release, because I think it's done some good as we see it with the box office numbers.
505-338-5790 if you'd like to jump in on the conversation as we talk about The Golden Compass here on Raw Talk, talking about some of the themes of this film and exactly what they're claiming, the impact it'll have on our culture and how we should respond to it as Christians. 505-338-5790 if you'd like to dive in on the conversation with a comment or a question, we'd be happy to tackle any questions that you might come up with. You know, one of the things that you guys mentioned was this idea of free will, and I have to agree that this concept of freedom that's presented in The Golden Compass, you see it with several characters who say freedom is the ability to do whatever you want. The magisterium, which is what they use to represent the church in the film, is an organization, an entity, that tells people what to do, how to think, when to think it, when to do it, but they do it in a very nice way, which is obviously the way some people view the church, that we regulate behavior with our do's and don'ts and all this type of stuff. And that's not freedom, that's servitude. And so the film and the books put forth this idea that true freedom is the ability to do whatever you want. This film even ends with a setup for the sequel about a war for free will. Mm-hmm. And it's so reverse in its thinking. And one of the things that I just couldn't get past is that people really don't understand what true freedom is. And this movie really represents what our society believes that freedom is. Freedom is the ability to do whatever you want. It's the American spirit. No one tells us what to do. Free spirits, we tamed the West, you know, we did all this, you know. And those are all good things, you know. But here's what I kept coming back to. The most free individual in the entire universe is God. He truly can do whatever he wants. I mean, think about it. He's not limited by power, by time, by space, by anything. He can literally do whatever he wants. Yet, the catch to that freedom is that he always does the right thing.
Right.
And therein lies true freedom. The fact that he always does the right thing. He always makes the right decision. When we become Christians, we find true freedom because as we become more like Christ, who was God in the flesh, we also have the ability to more often do the right thing. That is where we discover true freedom. Not in the ability to do whatever we want, whether it's right or wrong or whatever, doesn't matter, but that we can always make the right decision. Because the wrong decision usually ends up in pain, suffering, or death, which I think anyone would agree that dying, you're not really free when you're dead.
Right.
Because you're dead. And when you're injured and laid up in the hospital, you're not really free because you're, you know, in the hospital or you're sick. You know, those things can't be really defined as freedom. But as Christians, we experience freedom because we can become more and more like God in that we can more and more choose to do the right thing. That is true freedom. Not following rules that regulate behavior, but rather a new character instilled with us. And therein was a point where it wasn't just that the golden compass was saying, oh, the church tells everybody what to do. I really felt it went deeper than that. It was more like, God can't tell me what to do.
Right.
And that's where I draw the line.
And
someone,
you go ahead.
Someone say
okay,
something.
Okay. I'm definitely tracking with you. I think that this movie muddies the water as to as to what is right and wrong. And I think this is, I haven't read any of the books. I think this might be something that's raised later, but I really feel like this is going in the direction where it's going to start saying, you know, well, what is right and wrong? What is truth? What is, you know, what is right and wrong? And people that don't live by the standard of Jesus Christ, by the gospel, don't have that concept. They don't have that concept of absolute truth and absolute right and wrong like we have. That's built in with conviction from the Holy Spirit.
We can't expect non-believers to behave like believers. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not expecting Pullman, who is an acknowledged atheist or agnostic, to behave like a believer and understand those concepts. Mm-hmm. But as a believer, I believe it is incumbent upon me, since I do understand those things, that when the opportunity to discuss them comes up, like with a film like The Golden Compass, then I must speak out and tell people, okay, I know you don't understand this because you haven't met Christ yet, but here's what you're missing out on.
I think we need to do it in a loving way, as the Bible says, because, well, we say of course, but, I've been reading. It doesn't happen. All over Yahoo, all over everything, it seems like all it says is these Christian groups and bashing and they're hateful and we as Christians are being just as ignorant as Pullman right now, because he's sitting here trashing the church and doing whatever he thinks is right. And all we're doing is throwing more fuel on the fire by saying we absolutely need to boycott this trash. This guy is a loser and he, you know.
We're acting like the magisterium.
We are.
Yeah, he kind of proves his point with us.
But, you know, and we'll dive into this here after we talk to Penny.
Right.
But the point is, it goes beyond just the people who represent the church. And again, let me be very clear. That's where it really started to bother me. Not so much that it was anything about the church. I can take that.
Right.
I know I'm not perfect. I know the church isn't perfect. But it went so much deeper than that. And that may be a point that a lot of people miss. But we have Penny on the line. Penny, welcome to Raw Talk. And what do you have to say this evening, Penny?
Well, I think the biggest, this is not to be, you know, a fearful, God is greater, God is beyond,
mm-hmm.
not to be fearful of the movie,
mm-hmm.
but to have an understanding, too, that, like, I'm not going to go see the movie, so I don't want another movie to come out or whatever, but I think for the generation of children that are little and that are coming out and seeing, you know, it makes a warped perspective, like you were talking about earlier, of free will.
Mm-hmm.
And the perspective now for many of the kids, you know, we're kind of a spoiled nation as it is.
Right.
And our free will, you know, it just kind of warps it, I guess, is a nice way of saying it.
That is a very nice way of saying it.
Huh?
That's a very nice way of saying it. Very polite.
Yeah, well, and it's just, you know, we have a responsibility as Christians. I've been talking to the people in my church and other churches just for people to be aware of it, not to be fearful of it because God controls all things, but that we don't have to fund the next one.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to put the funding of the next one. To be aware, it's a good subject to be awareness, but to also be concerned for the next generation on the free will, and, you know, that it's not that we can just do whatever, and it, whatever makes us feel good, you know, we have to have an understanding and control of that.
You're absolutely right, and like we pointed out, there is no need to be afraid of this film, like the Da Vinci Code, whose claims were so ridiculous as to be laughable if you really thought about them. There aren't any claims that you could say that about in this movie, because I'm not sure what it's claiming alternate to Christianity. All I see is that it's saying, no, we shouldn't do that. Well, what should we do instead? Well,
do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it doesn't even make a rational, intelligent argument that we can engage in any sort of rapport with. And so absolutely nothing to be afraid of there. Go ahead, Deez.
And it doesn't, even just to further that point, it doesn't even bring up something as simple as the consequences of our actions. That's never even brought up in the film. What are the consequences of sin? What are the consequences if you exercise your free will in a negative manner towards somebody else, towards authority, for example? And that's never even, it's the movie isn't even smart enough to bring that up and address that even head on.
Yeah, but I think that's a scarier thing because they're telling everybody, hey, you know what, go ahead and do what you want. Never mind that there could be consequences for your actions. Well, you can worry about that road when you cross it. Just, you know, have fun right now. And so I think that's actually scarier because if they were actually addressing the consequences, people wouldn't do whatever they want. So
yeah, I'm just addressing the silliness of it.
Yeah.
We're on the same page. We're tracking.
Well, Penny, thank you so much for offering your comments and stirring us up even more.
Yeah, God bless.
All right,
God bless you, Penny.
Thanks, Penny.
If you'd like to call in and if you have a question about the film or a comment about the Golden Compass as we discuss this from a biblical perspective, I want to be very clear on that. I don't want to people think that I'm just addressing this as a Christian.
Right.
Okay, because I, as a Christian, am imperfect, and my viewpoints may be flawed. But biblical truth is biblical truth,
right,
and it is solid, it's reliable, and really that is the watermark, the plumb line that we test this against is biblical truth, and I want to dive into that more here in just a bit. But if you got a question or comment, 505-338-5790 as we discuss the Golden Compass tonight. And next up we have Shauna. Shauna, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Good. How about you?
Good. I'm just glad that you guys are talking about this. I've had several non-Christians at work.
Mm-hmm.
They know I'm a Christian, and they came to me and told me that they will probably not go see the movie either,
mm-hmm.
and that they would highly recommend that I don't, because they said that they kill off God in this show.
Well, that doesn't actually happen in the movie. That is one of the themes of the books, but in the books, they don't even really kill off God. What happens is they find, quote-unquote, God in the books, with the intent, yeah, we should kill God. But when they find God, God is this really old, frail man whose power is completely spent and he is absolutely useless to anybody. And he ends up expiring because he just is totally worthless to anyone. He created the universe and let it run, and then he got old and he just expires on his own. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, this is out to kill God.
Which it is. I mean, their purpose, their travels are to find this source and
I just thought that
kill it
was interesting, you know, that non-Christians at my work were telling me that, you know, it's something that they definitely were not going to take their children to see.
Right, right.
Well,
and
yeah.
They were encouraging me to not go see.
Right, right. Yeah. Which is good.
And, you know, the whole question about is this appropriate for children? Should we be concerned? And I would say, you know, with your kids, really, there's nothing to be concerned about if you're willing to discuss this with them previously and afterwards. You know, anytime you're just letting the kid, media feed your kids, there's a problem.
Yeah, some sort
doesn't matter what it is. If you're
exactly.
just setting them in front and, hey, whatever. That's not a good idea in general. But if you're someone who knows how to discuss things that are raised through media with your kids, this is no more or less of a concern than anything else. Unless you don't talk about it with them, then it could be a problem. It could be very confusing. Back to the question about killing God, I will point out that Pullman has said, and this goes back to his very anti-Christian sentiments, that if there is a God, and that's his agnostic view, maybe there is, maybe there isn't, but if there is, and if that God is the way Christians describe him to be, then Pullman does believe that God should be, quote-unquote, put down, whatever
wow.
that would mean. So that is his own personal viewpoint about that. So that's his sentiment. That doesn't show up in the first movie. Let me be clear. But I will say that it absolutely challenges the authority of God, and it says that that challenge of authority is a good thing. Does that help you out at all,
yes.
Shauna?
I think that's it. We'll just keep
all
praying
right.
for the people who watch it, you know?
Well, and not only pray for them, but when you hear them talking about it, let's dive in and talk about it with them.
Amen.
And
yeah,
point
exactly.
them towards Christ. Thank you so much, Shauna.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening. If you'd like to dive in with a question or comment as we talk about The Golden Compass this evening here on Rod Talk, give us a call, 505-338-5790. We have Dawn up next. Dawn, welcome to Rod Talk. What do you have to say?
Hi. My daughter is in third grade, and her teacher was reading The Golden Compass to them. And I was wondering how I should respond. How would you respond if you were a parent in that situation?
Here's how I would respond as a parent to that. I would mention my concern to the teacher, but honestly, you know, what are they going to do? However, this is more or less religious material in the school.
Absolutely.
Just because it's anti-Christian instead of pro-Christian doesn't make it any less quote-unquote religious. It is promoting a religious point of view, agnosticism or atheism. But even if, you know, they're like, oh, there's nothing we can do about it, the important thing, again, is to discuss it with your kids and make sure that you go over point by point with them. Okay, so you learned, you heard this in the story today. Here's what the Bible says.
Right.
And if your kids, you know, just like the Bible says, if you raise up your kids in the way they should go, they will not wander from it. That's a very loose paraphrase. But if we ground our kids in biblical truth, even if they're reading this stuff to them in school, we don't have to be concerned about it because God's truth always wins. And right. That's the thing to remember.
I think we need to take a stand. I as a parent, I don't know that I would just say, hey, you know what, here's the deal. I think I would absolutely Google Pullman and take all this information to the school, because if a teacher was trying to read the kids Narnia, I'm pretty sure there would be an uproar.
Yeah,
it would be on the front page of Yahoo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be a big deal. So on the flip side, we absolutely need to fight for this and say, hey, you know what? It's not fair. It seems like everything is okay as long as it's not Christianity, all right? As long as you're not pushing Christianity, yeah, go for it. And I think we sometimes, you know, there are times to take a stand. And I think this is one of those times where I would go to the teacher or the school, you know, if the mm-hmm. teacher wasn't willing to listen and say, hey, you know, this, I don't agree with this. And if you guys are going to continue reading this to my child, maybe I'm just going to go to a different school, you know? So I don't know.
And I even remember a time when I was in school and they were reading me a story and making us watch a movie that I didn't agree with as a Christian. And I just asked the teacher, I don't want to be in here while this movie is playing. And my teacher gave me a look like I was, you know, from the planet
Mars.
Pluto.
Right.
Further than
well,
that, Pluto.
It's not a planet anymore.
Right.
So.
That's true.
You're obviously not from Pluto. Neptune or...
So,
I'm just kidding, dude.
But I went to the library every day that week when they were doing that. So maybe you could ask, hey, you know, if you're going to continue to read this, can I have my kid go to the library and read or something like that? Does that help you out at all, Dawn? There's several options there for you.
That helps a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn, for calling in. We appreciate it. Next up, we have Chad. Chad, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say?
I had gone on to the website for the Golden Compass, because I heard about the controversy, mm-hmm. and I know I got an email from my cousin who's got three children. Her name's Dawn, too, so I'm not too sure if that was her who just called in. But,
if it was, say hi.
Yeah, so it was about the thing on there. When you go to the website, you can create your own demon, but it's not spelled D-E-M-O-N.
Right. Well, it's supposed to be pronounced Damon. They actually mispronounce it in the film.
The entire film.
Yeah, it's spelled D-A-E-M-O-N. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the proper pronunciation?
Damon. Like a day
like
as...
day?
Yeah,
like
as,
day and night? Damon?
Yeah, like day and then mon. Like
yeah,
you're
see,
Rastaswarian or something.
I was trying to get into that, which is like one of the common misconceptions nowadays, how gossip can totally mislead. And like, you know how, you know, one person says at the end of the tunnel thing, and then by the time you hear it, it's
yeah.
a totally different thing. And like, I like what was said earlier about, you know, if you're just being a parent, sit in there and have discussion, because when you know a fact like what you just presented to me, it totally wipes out any misconception. And so many people just jump to the conclusion, and next thing you know, it's just this mayhem.
Yeah. Well, let's make one clear thing about
right.
this. Okay, it's pronounced Damon.
However,
I totally believe that what the representation is, regardless of how it's presented in the movie or the books, is of demons. There's even one scene where it shows quote unquote dust, also known as sin, coming into a person through their daemon. Which for me was a point in the movie where I got like really fidgety in my seat, like, oh, that makes me feel kind of gross.
Especially since they were calling it a demon, so you're like, oh, okay.
And it was in.
Yeah, he's like looking at a picture. If you'll notice, the dust is coming through the demon into the person. And I was like, oh, that's amazing and wonderful. And I'm like, trying to throw up. Like, oh my gosh.
And that's like the first 5 minutes of the movie. So yeah. It doesn't get a whole lot better from that point.
So just because they pronounce it differently and because they take the shape of cute animals and all this type of stuff, interesting things to note, you know, these are supposed to be the souls of the character, but in this alternate world, their soul is on the outside of them represented in animal form. But if it's the person's soul, I found it very interesting that these quote-unquote souls do not speak in the same voice as the person. Just as if you had an actual demon accompanying you everywhere, it's not going to speak to you in the same voice.
They're more like a real-life Jiminy Cricket, I felt like. They were more like, you know, or Garfield, like only you could hear them and they were your little pet that hung out with you and told you what to do.
Yeah, personally, I found the whole thing just a little bit creepy.
Right.
Despite the fact that the right enunciation is Damon.
Damon.
I mean, that's just semantics. I think the whole concept is not all that different from the idea of demon or even demon possession, even though these particular creatures weren't on the inside. They still had the same type of influence. And I know people are like, oh! Of course, that's your extremist Christian point of view. I'm sorry. I'm just going with what I saw.
Right.
All right. Does that help you out at all there, Chad?
Yeah, sure did, you know, because now I can go ahead and relay that back. And it's, you know, my first thing about it was, like, it's just entertainment. Like, you can't take something like that literally, like your child's on there creating a demon, because I did it just to see what it was about. And my demon was a tiger, and I was like, well that's cool, you know?
Well, yeah, who wouldn't want a tiger walking around with them? That'd be kind of fun.
And it looks very cool, you know? Daniel Craig, James Bond walks into the scene with this beautiful snow leopard. It's like... Yeah.
I'm just glad that can get put to rest, and, you know, and just to let people know that entertainment is entertainment, and you know what? It's Hollywood, man, and you can't take it strictly to the heart, and... Those things weren't that bad. They weren't like disgusting, revolting creatures. And
I'm
glad
trick.
That you helped me out with the correct pronunciation.
So sure. Okay,
now I can go back and tell my cousin, I want dinner for this.
Well, there you go.
Hey,
well,
you guys
enjoy.
Are awesome. Blessings to you, and have a good night.
Thanks, Chad. Actually, one of the things that we discussed after the film that I actually found kind of disturbing was the fact that they made it look so cool that this demon going around with you. And you just know, especially with kids, impressionable teenagers, they were like, oh, that's kind of cool. They got like their little animal spirit representation. I've heard Wicca, you can do something like that. You know, it's because it makes it look so cool. I know we're getting like, it's just a movie. Yeah, but it's planting ideas.
I don't agree that it's just a movie. There, I hear what Chad is saying. You know, the idea that it's just entertainment, it's just all fun, and they put it in such a cute, happy little light. There, it's like, well, of course they did. They want it to be presentable. They want you to want this idea, basically. And I see the idea of just entertainment. However, this time around, I can't. Do that because they're straight up attacking my Lord and Savior. They're not attacking the church, as we've mentioned. They are attacking God and what I believe. And so I can't just say that.
And Satan appears as an angel of light.
Right.
He doesn't appear to us as a revolting creature with a pitchfork, a horn tail, and horns on his head and red skin. He doesn't appear to us like that. He doesn't appear to Adam and Eve like that. He appears as a serpent, and their reaction to him is one of, they have a conversation with him. They don't freak out. They don't run away. He can appear very appealing at points, and that's part of that's the deception of a type of film like this. It's pitching itself as a children's film.
Right.
And these things are presented as harmless. And as Steve-O mentioned, they're not just attacking the church or me. You know, like he can attack me all he wants. But when it comes down to attacking God head on, you know, and God's sacrifice for us, then I have a more of a problem with it. And this movie didn't come off as just entertainment.
You said it very eloquently. And as like an example, you got to look at Satan as you take a look at a husband, right? God, the devil is going to come at him with this beautiful woman. He's not going to go, hey, you know what? If you sleep with this girl, a lot of bad things are going to happen. You could lose your wife and your kids and all these terrible things are going to happen. No, 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 dude. The devil is going to bring this beautiful woman into the life and go, hey, look at her. No problems here. Oh, your wife, you guys were fighting the other night. That's no fun. Look at this. It's beautiful. It's tempting, because if sin were ugly and something that was revolting, we wouldn't do it.
And that's the whole movie. The whole movie is that.
Exactly.
The whole movie is sin is, you know, it's cool. Look at how cool. It's dust, bro. You want dust. It's going to make you happy.
Right.
It's going to do all these great things for you, and they don't tell you the catch.
Never mind
the
end result, yeah. The consequences. Just go for it. Yeah.
We have James on the line. James, welcome to Raw Talk. What do you have to say, James?
I was just calling to. I kind of jumped into the show in the middle, but the subjects like this kind of like hit me in a weird way, just because of the fact that, you know, I have a little 6-year-old daughter and have one on the way and. Used to be really involved in youth group and everything like that. And one thing I've noticed over the years is that I kind of want to know when parents are going to start being parents again. You know, if they're reading this book or watching this movie in school, then you just go in and tell them straight up, my kid's not going to watch this, period. And if they disagree with it, then you take them out of school for the next couple of days and get their homework, and they can do their homework at home. Or, you know, we as Christians, I don't know when our backbone got taken out, you know, and we just decided one day to give up and not stick up for what we believe in and to stop letting people shove things down our kids' throats. And on the other hand, yeah, in a way, it's just entertainment. It's not suitable for kids, maybe, but that's why parents should scream what their kids read and watch. And that's what it comes down to, instead of, you know, people getting too extreme with it, on the other hand, of like burning books when Harry Potter was out and all that stuff, because all that does is give them more money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Well, you know, that's all great advice, James. Thanks so much for calling in and pointing that out. I like that quote. When did the spine get removed from Christianity? I might steal that from you sometime and use it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks, James, for calling in. Appreciate it. You're listening to Raw Talk. We're talking about The Golden Compass with Steve-O and Deez and myself, Yo. And one thing that I wanted to touch on was the concept of truth. This movie, The Golden Compass, tries to muddle. They talk a lot about truth
right.
in the film, but they never tell you what truth is.
Right.
I don't know if you guys picked up on that. They kept talking about, oh, you know, it's all about the truth, and we're seeking the truth, and there's a war coming between free will and truth, and all this stuff about truth. And I kept waiting, okay, so what do you say truth is? But they never really define it. And for me, again, that was not an assault on the church, although they're saying, you know, whatever truth is, it's not what the magisterium says it is.
Right.
That's all they knew. Which, you know, basically, whatever truth is, it's not whatever the church says. Okay, fine, I can live with that. So, what is truth? Because the Bible is actually very clear on truth. Jesus even said in John 14:6, I am the way, the life, and the truth.
Right.
And there's only one way to get to heaven, and it's through me. That's the truth. Well, obviously, that's too narrow for something like the Golden Compass. So they're trying to find a broader sense of the truth. But I think the danger there is they never really define truth. And for me, you know, again, that was an assault on me as a Christian. That was an assault on the Bible.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And like James pointed out, that was a point at which I said, I'm not going to stand for that.
Right.
I'm going to tell people, you know what? You can know truth. Truth is noble. Truth is absolute. Truth is not whatever makes you feel good. And actually, when I wrote my review for this particular movie, one of the things I pointed out is, you know, we like truth when it makes us feel good. We like truth when it makes us feel happy. But truth doesn't tell us what we want to hear. Truth tells us what we need to hear.
Tells us the truth.
All the Golden Compass is concerned, what do you want to hear? Find the truth.
Right. Well, I think it's one of my favorite analogies. Is they keep on this idea that it's all about you, and you do whatever you want, and you do whatever you feel. You know, sometimes there, like you said, there are hard times in life. There are thunderstorms, and there are times when life just sucks, you know? And it's like, well, I keep doing whatever I want, and for some reason I'm not getting any better. And the analogy I always think of is when your Xbox 360 breaks, you know, you don't call Sony and you don't call Nintendo to fix it. You call Microsoft because they are the engineer. They are the creator. Just like when you are broken and you need a fixing, you don't go to yourself. You don't go to booze. You go to the person who created you. You go to God and only God. And this thing is trying to tell you that, when life is doing some lame things, you know, go somewhere else, maybe. I just do whatever you want, but don't do it near me. Like, it just didn't really seem to have any answers or comfort, because you know what? To be honest, when did these characters really have any conflict? You know, it's like, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Ourselves. I love me. You know, like, it didn't seem like... What was going on, you know?
That's a great analogy. I'm going to have to steal that.
Which one? The Xbox one?
Yeah, can I have that?
Absolutely.
I'm going to sign a waiver.
I'm going to use that.
You know, you can use it every time as long as you go, you know, my really intelligent friend Steve-O once said.
I'll just pretend that's the name for my muse. If that's okay.
But seriously, you know.
I absolutely agree with you, and that's actually a great point. The other thing I wanted to touch on before we run out of time, and this is the point at which I absolutely knew that this was something I would have to write about, blog about. If you check out M88's MySpace, I have a whole blog on this very topic about when truth is presented, when a lie is presented as the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because this movie repeats the lie. Well, yo, what's the lie? Go back to Genesis chapter 3, read verses 1 through 4, when Satan comes to Eve and says, did God really say that if you eat of the fruit, you're going to die? Oh, yeah, of course. No, he didn't mean that. What he meant is that you'll be enlightened and you'll know good from evil. You'll be like God. That, you know, the great lie was when sin was presented as something other than sin, and we believed it and we partook of it, and the human race has been paying ever since. The central theme that I picked up in the Golden Compass was, did God really say that sin is all that bad and is going to kill you? No, actually, sin can reveal truth.
Right.
Because the alethiometer, the Golden Compass, it's called an alethiometer, it's something that helps a person find the truth. But the way it does that is through dust. And dust, as we've said earlier on in the movie, is a representation of sin. So the Magisterium believes that dust is bad. The truth is, quote unquote, little tiny lowercase t. Let me emphasize that. The truth is, oh no, dust is what makes humans enlightened, makes them, you know, what they're supposed to be, and can show them what truth really is, apart from what the Magisterium proclaims. At that point, I knew I would never like this movie.
Right.
And I would never want to hear from it again, because it is the repeat of the great lie. This time, though, wrapped in a fantasy adventure with talking polar bears.
Hey, which was awesome, by the way. There was like 30 minutes of really, really good movie wrapped right. in junk.
So you got all this stuff, and you're like, oh, this is cool. And they're totally going to miss that. But again, seeds planted. And that's what had me really concerned, was that this was a repeat of the great lie.
Right. And I think that's the problem with, you know, when Chad called earlier and said, hey, you know, sometimes it's just entertainment. That's what everybody wants you to think. And that's what Satan wanted them. Dude, it's just, hey, check this out, bro. Don't worry about it. Never mind the fact that it totally devalues our belief system. Never mind the fact that, you know, this author absolutely hates God. And as you quoted him straight from the source, straight from him himself, said, God needs to be put down. If he's this Christianity God, we need to find a way to put him down. I mean, these are his real words. This is the author's words. Never mind all this stuff. And never mind that the author is open about the fact that, yes, these books are anti-God. And this is very anti, it was like his rebuttal for Narnia. Never mind that, you know, all of these things, because there's some really cool fighting scenes. Did you see Return of the King? Did you enjoy that film? Well, you're going to enjoy The Golden Compass. Never mind all of this junk, you know? And so I can't believe I'm saying this, because I feel like I've never really had this one thing that I've gone up against. But for me, it's like, I don't want to see this film ever again, and I'm really hoping they don't make a second one. And I will outright say, please, dude, if you've heard anything we've said tonight, don't see this film. It's not even
that we're asking you to boycott the film.
No.
There's really no reason.
Right.
You're wasting. Yeah, it's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy.
Yes.
You will walk into the theater thinking, dude, I'm gonna see a movie. I'm gonna be entertained. I'm gonna be enlightened. And you're gonna walk out feeling bummed and depressed. Well, not depressed. That's not the proper word. You're gonna be extremely disappointed. And you're gonna think, man, the culture is going in this complete opposite direction of God, which it always does. Christianity is the only true counterculture on the face of the planet. It is the only one.
That's a good quote,
Christian. And I actually borrowed.
Stop stealing our lines.
I actually borrowed that.
Taking notes all night long.
I borrowed that from my good friend Chip Lesko.
Yeah, you know, honestly, if you want to waste $10, just give it to me.
Give
me some popcorn.
I was actually going to say that. I was going to say, you know what, dude? If you want to spend $10, M88 is a listener-supported radio station.
There you go.
If you enjoy music and good ministry, give us your $10.
$10.
We'll take it.
We'll take the $10.
We'll tell you about the whole movie and how terrible it was. We'll even, like, enact scenes, all right?
I get to be the polar bear.
There's no reason to see this movie. It's one of those things where it's like, you could, but why? There's no encouragement. It's not uplifting. You're not going to walk out and be like, oh, dude, that was so encouraging. I'm so excited about anything ever. And this movie just has the opposite effect. And it is truly the anti. It's truly just a representation of the culture we live in.
And one thing to note here. Sorry to disrupt you.
No,
dude.
Go for it, bro. It's cool.
One thing to note here is a friend of mine has read all of these books. I myself, you know, we're all readers here, and we read a lot of books. You know, we read Da Vinci Code because we wanted to know what we were up against here, and it was a terrible book. Theology.
That's a different conversation.
Okay, anyways.
We'll get into that after the show.
And he was like, dude, you didn't like the film? This is a Christian friend of mine who read these books who was like, kind of like bummed out. And we started getting into this conversation about the film. And he's like, dude, I thought they muddied it down. What's going on? And then I started explaining, dude, are you kidding me? This happens. And, you know, when Nicole Kidman's talking about dust and when they go off about this and they're talking about the magisterium, all these things. And he's like, oh, really? That's in the first movie? Because that doesn't happen until the third book. And that was the book that I thought was pretty offensive. And so to say that they, you know, that they toned it down for the movie, not at all true, because if you're a believer and you know the themes of the film, they actually open up some stuff in the movie earlier than they do in the books. You know, just, I don't know if it's to rile them, us up or, you know, what their plan was for it.
Yeah, because they knew we were coming.
They knew we were going to see the movie, man.
No Steve-O and D's are going to see this. Let's get them all.
And now, I'm just shocked that I'm having this reaction.
I want to conclude for people who are listening tonight are two things. Okay, so this is not just an assault on the church. It's an assault on God and the truth of the Bible. Well, does that mean that we should be afraid? Absolutely not. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 that his word will never pass away. Stuff like this has assaulted the truth of the Bible before. It will again. Make no mistake about that. Should we be concerned that this is the end of Christianity as we know it? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. However, what we do need to be concerned with, are we, as Christians, going to be willing to take this film and the impact it's going to have on our culture and say, hey, look, you're searching for truth? Let me tell you what truth is. You're searching for freedom? Let me tell you what true freedom is. You're searching for love and acceptance? Let me tell you where you can find that. Amen. This is an opportunity, like the Da Vinci Code, to share with our culture and our society the truth and love of God. And it's an opportunity not to be missed. And best of all, you don't have to go to see the movie to do that.
Right.
Saved you $10 right there. And second of all, Psalm 118, verses 6 through 7, tells us that the Lord is with us. He's going to help us. Why should we be afraid? What can man do to us? That's always been an encouragement to me, especially when stuff like this comes out. It's like, hey, you know what? God's bigger than this, and God's in me. So even if it was a personal attack on me as a Christian, which I don't believe it is, I think it goes deeper than that, what can man do to me? Not a whole lot. I have eternal security. Now, for you guys, what are your final thoughts on this as we wrap things up?
You know, I think you absolutely nailed it on the head. And one thing that I think of is the fact that if you read the good book, if you read his word, you know how this whole world is going to end. You know, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. So you're right. We shouldn't be afraid of any of this. What breaks my heart is the people that go to see this and take this theology, if you can even call it that, and run with it and think, you know what, there are no consequences for my action. There's nothing, you know, I can do whatever I want, and all that God and this church idea is going to do is, you know, put me under these rules and under these, when, as you said, we truly have that freedom when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ. And so, as you put it so well, that I absolutely agree. We do need to, rather than bash, we need to comfort these people and show them that there is hope. And you know what? You're right. We can't do it all on our own. And if you want to try and go down that road, I know where it leads, because I've been down that road and I tried doing it by myself. And guess what? It didn't work. And I broke, man. And thankfully, there is a loving Savior in Jesus Christ who picked me up in my pieces and put me back together. And that's what we need to be sharing with people, as you said. So that's what I would say.
The road that you follow, if you were to look at the Golden Compass and say, you know what, I want to follow what this says. I want to follow what this movie is teaching. It's a road to ruin. You know, it's a road that the world preaches daily. It's a road of vanity and self-satisfaction and finding pleasure in the things of this world. And if you follow that road, it's just going to lead to nothing. It's going to lead to emptiness and brokenness, and there's going to be nothing there. If you follow Jesus Christ, it leads to life. It leads to
everlasting,
to godliness. It leads to hope. It leads to a beautiful future, and it leads to true love, a love that nothing in this world, nothing that the Golden Compass preaches can ever fill. And God loves us so much, and he's so much, I know we've said it a couple times, but he's bigger than this kind of thing. This happens constantly. It happened with the early church fathers, all this, you know, people, new ideas and all focusing on ourselves and turning away from God. It happens constantly in both Old and New Testaments, and it's happening today, but God is love, and God loves us, and he's bigger than all these things. And Steve, I know you want to share something.
I was just going to say, you know, for what we have all said here, you know, we can speak till we're blue in the face, but how about this? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And as you said, this movie, these ideas, they all just lead to destruction. But God has this amazing plan for our lives. And it's an incredible journey to be on this path with you guys. And I'm just so thankful that I have such awesome brothers as you to keep me sharp and accountable, and that we can discuss stuff like this without getting all bitter and upset. And, you know, and it just truly is an amazing blessing to be part of this.
So. I remember when we're at the movie and the movie got done. And you looked over at me, and I could just read the expression on your face. You're like,
I want to like this.
I really want to like this movie so much. And you looked over at me, and the first thing you said, "Yo, what'd you think?" And I said, "I thought it was trash." And like, you just look crestfallen, and then you started thinking about, yeah, I guess so. You're so bummed, because I knew you wanted to like the movie, and then you turned to your representation of the Holy Spirit. And, but, you know, I couldn't say any. I wanted to like it, too.
I really did, too, but I agree.
But once I understood that it wasn't an assault on the church, it was an assault on biblical truth and God himself, I couldn't accept anything about it as being entertaining. But let's make one thing really clear. This really isn't about the film. It's about people.
Right.
That's really what Christianity has always been about. That's what God's love has always been about. It's been about the people. People are going to be affected by this film one way or the other, both Christians and non-Christians. Mm-hmm. For the Christians, we need to make sure that we are known more what we're for, the love of God, the truth of the Bible, the authority of God's word, and how Jesus Christ is the only way to experience true freedom, than what we're against, movies like this. For the people who don't believe in Christ, we need to point them to all those truths. I can't emphasize that enough. It's really not about the film. It's about the people. Why am I so concerned about this? Because of the people. I don't really care about the film. Like I said at the beginning of the film, oh, it got 26 million. Well, who cares?
Right.
I'm more concerned about people when it comes to something like this. Just like with the Da Vinci Code, it was more concerned about the people than the material. And I hope that tonight we've given you information that you can use to engage people.
Right.
Don't write letters to the box office or the producers of New Line or anything like that. They're people too, but they work in Hollywood, so who knows. What you need to be concerned about is the people who are going to be affected by this film. And like someone pointed out, there's rumors circulating all over the internet about this, blah, blah, blah. We've tried to provide you with good information so you can engage intelligently and lovingly. Next week on Raw Talk, we're going to discuss more people and how we can minister to them. As we get ready for the Christmas season, there's people groups that often get overlooked during the generosity of the season. And one of those is often members of gangs. And so next week, we're going to take a look at how we as Christians, especially during Christmas, but all year long, can not just, you know, oh, we got to keep them out of the gangs, and how we can minister to them one-on-one as people and reach out to them. And so we'll take a look at that next week. And then the following 2 weeks, we'll have a very special presentation. It'll be the night before Christmas Eve and the night before New Year's Eve. We'll have a very special presentation, a debate about the God delusion that you're not going to want to miss. Fascinating debate, and those will be aired special Raw Talks the two last Sundays of December. Deez and Steve-O, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Dude, yeah, no,
thank you for having us, yo.
It's always a pleasure. And as I said to you earlier this week, Steve-O, we need to spend less time with each other.
We're spending way too much time. I think, dude, you're the boss. Can I take the day off tomorrow?
Yeah, get out of here. I want to thank Madrid as well. Steve Madrid did a great job producing the show tonight,
yes, yes.
As he always does. Always appreciate his efforts. And thank you all for calling in and tuning in. Hope you have a great evening in the Lord. Thanks for joining us here on Raw Talk.